I'd like to take you through what we'll be sharing tonight. We'll be doing a lot of prophetic clearance and divine prophetic interventions. Say divine prophetic interventions. Some of the situations people are facing right now requires prophetic interventions. Let me say this to you, because we're going to do that tonight. We're going to do something tonight. We're going to intervene over your matter prophetically. You see, there's a man watching me right now. You have a lot of debts. Don't worry, I'll handle your case very soon. We are going to intervene prophetically and handle your matter. Now watch this. So in the prophetic, as I did mention last night, that most people can be in the prophetic, yet not in the prophetic. So we had people living in the days of the prophets, and the prophet was with them, and yet they were not in the days of the prophets. Now, I keep on saying this again and again. The fact that you watch a prophet, or you belong to a church of a prophet, or you think you believe in a prophet, does not mean that you are acquainted to the prophetic. I have seen so many people who think actually they are prophets, but there is no prophetic in them. Being a prophet is not what you speak on the altar. Being a prophet is your lifestyle. That's why Elijah was shocked when a day happened that he actually spoke to God to say, I am the only one. God said, come on, you are not the only one. And there are so many people in our midst, in this ministry, who are very prophetic. And God regards them as prophets. Because it's not what we do on the altar. It is a lifestyle. You're not a prophet because you prophesy on the pulpit. No. The Bible says, for we can all prophesy. In fact, it says one by one. The Bible says that. It says, for we can all. In fact, it even says one by one. We can all prophesy. And who was saying that? An apostle. And this is Paul. He said, for we can all prophesy. Do you understand that the church of Corinth, everybody was prophesying? All members in the church of Corinth, everybody was prophesying. So that does not make one to be a prophet or one to be prophetic. What makes one to be, it is the lifestyle. I'm going to share with you. So you can be in a prophetic ministry but not being prophetic. And this is why someone who was a son of Elisha had so many bills, financial bills. You are here. Yes. I hope so. He had a lot of financial bills, and he died in debt. And the wife said, I am not my husband. You didn't hear that? The wife said what? I can't have a prophet and die with the problems of my husband. She went to a prophet and said, hey. And the Bible says this guy, he was not just a son of a prophet of Elisha. No. In fact, the Bible says he was a servant, meaning to say he was saving the prophet. I don't know whether he was an usher, whether he was in protocol, whether he was one of the pastors. I have no idea. But the Bible says he had debts. And he died without solving the debts and paying them. Yet he was a son of a prophet. He would see Elisha perform miracles, but him, he was just saving. And he never spoke to a prophet to say, I've got this condition, I need prophetic intervention. And therefore, the prophetic anointing was not activated, because the prophetic anointing reacts to stimulants. So there must be a stimulant. What provokes it for it to react? Am I speaking to somebody? You can be with your prophet like this every day. Can you imagine that Jesus was at a place where there was the food had finished? The wine had they finished. He was right there. And the mother said, what he will say, do it. In fact, Jesus was willing to leave the place with a crisis until there was a what? A stimulant. He said, "What if he tells you something, do it." And Jesus said, I'm not willing to do it now. They said, please, I am the mother. Listen to me. What he would tell you, do it. So a miracle happened just because there was what stimulated it. In other words, you can be in a place where power is moving, but you cannot be a beneficiary. Faith does not guarantee that the prophetic anointing will function. But positioning does. I'm trying to talk to somebody, right? Yes. Can you imagine that everybody was around Jesus? Why were they around Jesus? It means they believed in him. Am I talking to you? Are we saying there are people who are touching Jesus and they never got a miracle? And Peter said, everybody, master, is touching you and no one is being healed. Are we saying they never believed? That's why they were there in the first place. Where were they in the room where Jesus Christ was? It means they believed in Jesus. So that does not guarantee that you receive a miracle. But the woman positioned herself. And how did she do so? The Bible says, for she said in her heart, if I touch the hem, and most people think she was healed because she touched the hem. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says she was healed because she said in her heart, there are ways she was speaking. If I touch the hem, I'll be healed. There were declarations which were already aligned. She had created a pattern in the spirit which responds to the prophetic anointing. She had spoken words, and these words were there in the spirit waiting for radiation. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. Now imagine people were there touching Jesus, and some had come before her, and they were in the same place where Jesus Christ was. Not even Peter, who was a disciple, who was staying with Jesus, not even him, in a single day, removed power from the body of Jesus. But the woman, for what she said in her heart, made power transfer. Are you hearing me? Power what? Power moved out of Jesus until Jesus noticed it. To say, someone touched me. Who touched me? I feel power left me. Because the woman had declared it. To say, if I touch, this will happen. So you can be in the environment, but not be a participant of what is happening. And this is why there are people who be like, I've been praying for a long time. I've been in the prophets a long time. And nothing's happening. Because it is not a participation matter. It is about positioning. I'm trying to communicate. Am I communicating with someone right here? Now imagine that you're there. Because you can be working with the prophet every day together like this. Or you can even be part of the people who are touching the anointing like this, but not getting anything. But there are things that in the prophetic, they are what we call stimulants, what can make the anointing work. Do you know there are things that you can pray to God when there's no a prophet around you? There are certain things you will need God on your own to go and pray for God to answer you. But there are certain things you don't even need to disturb God. A prophet can just say, this will happen tomorrow, and it will happen. I know you didn't hear that one. I know you didn't hear that one. Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? I remember a moment when my biological father, so he had some problems and he went to hospital. They said, we have to operate you. This is a very serious matter. So he came to me and he said, they want to operate me and all that. And you have to understand something about me, that I do believe that God uses doctors, and I actually pray for them most of the times. In one of my prayer points, I pray for doctors. You know, doctors, nurses, be praying for those people. God uses them to save lives. However, I believe that their job is to treat, and the God heals. Did you hear what I said? They can actually, they don't heal, they treat. That's why the same condition, they can treat another patient and they can be well. And they can treat another patient and they can die. Same cancer. Because healing is up to God. You are getting me, right? So my father now came to me. He's like, I have this condition. They have booked me. I said, oh, okay. And I listened to him. And I said, oh, okay. So he told me when the operation would happen. I said, oh, okay. And one single day before the operation, I just saw him arriving home. He said, I hear there's international visitors this weekend. I said, yes. He said, I want to attend. Are you hearing me? I said, ah, okay. I said, okay. On the prayer line at IVP, on the prayer line, he held my hand like this and he said, tell me that I'm healed. When I was about to pray for him, he said, tell me that I'm healed. He was holding him. This is my biological father. He said, tell me that I'm healed. I said, you are healed. Now, you remember I meet people the first day and then I pray for them. The second day. On the second day, I'm not seeing him on the line. I went to home, I found him. I'm like, ah, but I was supposed to say, you told me I'm healed. He said, you told me I'm healed. On the day of operation, he went to hospital. The doctor said, well, they can't find anything. And that's how he was healed. You can be where a prophet is. But there must be something that must stimulate. You know why? Because God said, I will hide a prophet. In Isaiah 6, the Bible says, I will make people to see, but they will not see who you are. Because if they know who you are, they will be healed. You didn't hear me. Now, can you imagine God is calling a prophet in Isaiah chapter 6? God saying, you hear that? God is saying, I am calling you as a prophet. However, I will make people of Israel to look at you like this as a prophet, but I will hide who you are. Because the moment they know who you are, they'll get their miracle. And I told you this yesterday. I said, this is why only prophets, they are heavily fought, or anyone who prophesies, they are heavily fought by the enemy. He will use governments. He will use anything to rise up against prophets. Why? Because prophets, when they speak, it is as good as the voice of God has spoken. Hate it or love it, but I'm telling the truth. That's why whatever they were speaking in the Old Testament, we are all documented and became the Bible. Whatsoever prophets were talking, in the Old Testament, the people agreed. They all compiled those things and said, you know what? This is God speaking. Are you here or you're home? So I told you. And it's the reason why there will be people, my God, there will be people who will be there and they will not see it. And the Bible says, if they see, they will repent. If they see, they will be healed. In Isaiah 6 verse 10, let's go there. It says what?
Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed.
Can you imagine God is telling a prophet? He says, do everything possible to make them not see who you are. The prophetic ministry is hidden. God hides it. And that's why I'm sharing this message with you, because I'm about to enter into prophetic clearances and prophetic interventions. Some of your matters and situations, all we need is to intervene as a prophet. You are not hearing me. I told you, the last solution God sends in the life of a believer or a person is a prophet. Whenever there was a crisis, the whole Bible, whenever there was a crisis, the last person God was sending was a prophet. He was not sending soldiers. When a prophet comes, it's the last sign in your life that God loves you and he wants to solve your matter. Amen. Did you hear me? So I want to handle your matter. Somebody say, handle it.
Handle.
This is not just a saying. And I want you to hear me. This is not just a what?
Saying.
This is not just a saying. All what you are looking for you to do, just 20% of your effort, of your stimulant, 20%. Just 20% of you just saying in your heart to say, if I touch, I'll be healed. The woman was healed. A situation she had for 12 years disappeared just by a little effort. I pray in the name of Jesus. May your faith today stand on the altar. And every situation and every moment you are facing, receive intervention in the name of Jesus. Now, in Isaiah 6 verse 10, with what you read in the Message translation.
Make these people blockheads with the fingers in their ears and blindfolds on their eyes, so they won't see a thing, won't hear a word, so they won't have a clue about what's going on, and yes, so they won't turn around and be made whole.
That's the anointing that prophets carry. Now, most people don't actually understand it. So there are two types of anointings that the prophets do carry. One, the revelational anointing, which people have a revelation and see a prophet. Two, the anointing of blindness, where people get blinded and they don't see him as a prophet. And they have no clue what's happening. And I pray you don't become like those people. Amen. Prophets are a last sign God sends to a person when he sees you need intervention. I remember last time I taught you, I think some 5-6 years ago, I said it to you, if God can give you a prophet, he can give you a house. Because to God, a prophet is more important than your house. Are you here, somebody? Now, let's go. Now, let me just share with you. The word prophet comes from a Hebrew word, navi, which its root is called nava. It simply means to bubble up, to spring forth, or to pour out. That's what it means. It does not necessarily mean to see a vision. There is a difference between seeing a vision and prophesying. The difference is the one who sees is a seer. However, if you are a prophet and you also see, it means God has added two things in one. That's why there are people who think they are not prophets because they can't see. And they wonder, like, Papa, I want to be seen. I want you to pray for me. I don't know. I don't think I'm a prophet. I want to be seen. You are mistaking the two. If I'm able to see and I'm also a prophet, it means it is just a grace that I'm a prophet and also a seer. It doesn't mean you should see all the times to be a prophet. Prophets, their job. Am I talking to somebody here? A seer will see a storm and a prophet will stop it. You didn't hear me. Do you tell me a scripture where Elijah was seen as a seer? Elijah, I'm going to show you a very important aspect here as we go. Because most people don't actually understand these things. Elijah, God could speak to him a word. He would bring that word to the people as a prophet. But you will not commonly hear Elijah saying, "And I saw this." He would bring the word of God as a prophet. But you will not commonly hear him saying, "I saw this in the spirit." Are you hearing the difference? So, if you don't see in the spirit and you're a prophet, it does not mean that you are not a prophet. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 27.
"Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, and Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me.'"
Now, who was saying those words?
Elisha.
Now, I want you to understand something very important here. These men were not seers. But not Samuel. Samuel was a seer. You see the difference? You would not come to Samuel and do that, and then Samuel would say, "God has hidden it to me." So Samuel was both a prophet and a seer. I'm about to say something now. It will change somebody's destiny forever. You will see. Because people don't even know. They're like, "Oh, you know." So there are people who watch a prophet because they're expecting a miracle to happen. No. In prophetic ministry, we don't expect a miracle. We create it. Whether the prophet is willing to pray for you or not, you can actually on your own touch the TV without him saying touch it. It is the only ministry that you can press a demand. Somebody say, I press a demand. On the prophetic anointing. Working on this altar. Now watch this, what the scripture say. Because we've got a big problem where most people do not understand the prophetic ministry. And therefore, what people hear about prophets is what you read on newspapers, what you read on a blog. Most people do not have a vast knowledge about the prophetic ministry. And I haven't been teaching it because I am me. I am a prophet, and you can't teach about yourself. Until I said, no, I think people must know what the prophetic ministry is all about. Otherwise, they'll be told a wrong story, and they'll be believing that wrong story. If we will not teach you, because in all other ministries, there are theological schools where people go and learn about those ministries. But there is no any school right now teaching about prophetic ministry, unless these are new syllabuses. But in most theological schools, they'll teach prophets of the old and teach them as history. We are not talking about history, sir. We are talking about modern day life. What I was sharing, some of it, what I was sharing yesterday about the dark days, to say because there was a gap from the times of Joshua, there was a huge gap, about 500 years. There was no prophet, no power, no nothing. And this is a moment where there were even other scholars as well. They were thinking that the prophets were in the days of Joshua and Moses until another prophet appeared. They lived in those days, and when the prophet disappeared, and then they were also teaching about. So if you read the Bible, they'll be talking about, oh, in the days, God, what you did in the days of Moses. You remember, right? In chapter 4.
"And he said to him, 'Say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' She answered, 'I do among my own people.'"
Go ahead.
So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived and bore a son. And when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her.
I just want to say something that is very important here. Now we are going to what is known as Daba. I want everybody to say with me, Daba. D-A-B-A-R-A. Daba. So Daba is what I want to teach you now. Because when you use it, things will happen. Anybody who come across, if you use Daba, they'll be in trouble. Amen. Say Daba.
Daba.
Hey, so Daba, it is a word that comes, it's a Hebrew word. It simply talks of the heavenly decree. Now, this decree can be adopted by a person. The Bible says, in the beginning, God said. That speaking that God spoke is the word Daba. A word that is spoken to establish a particular thing is called Daba. If I tell my associate here, Prophet Hara, if I say to him, take this microphone, put it there. What has just happened? It has happened by my word. That's Daba. So if Prophet Hara says to any person here to say, tomorrow this will happen. In other words, those words have been sent a mission by him to do what he has said. So if I say to him, to say in 2 weeks this will be done, what will be done? Are you hearing me? What has even made the Prophet Hara to move from where he was sitting to here? What has made him? The word I spoke. In other words, the word that I spoke, he said, oh, let me go. Why? Because if the same word I have spoken, if someone junior to him had said the same word, he would not stand up. You didn't hear me? So it takes also who spoke it. So he is a man under authority. But trust you me, there are also people under his what? Am I speaking to somebody here? So you can wonder, you say a statement, nothing's happening. You wonder why nothing is happening. Because in the realms of the spirit, you are speaking from a point of no authority. But when you speak from Daba, I'm trying to talk to somebody here. When you speak from Daba, it is a word of God that you have tapped it and you have just spoken it. So God is saying it, you have grabbed it and you have declared it. So it's no longer your word. Oh my God. Someone said, my family is healed.
My family is healed.
You have just declared Daba. Are you here, somebody? Now, you may have your seat. Now, he's even having his seat. Because the man who has spoken to him is a man over what? Trust me, if it was a junior to him, say, have your seat, be like, who you are telling me as who? So we have got people who speak words and they wonder the word is not happening. They pray in the name of Jesus. Hey, I declare tomorrow this will happen. Now the woman, she was barren and the prophet is in the house. He says, what can I do for you? The woman said, you don't even have to start it. My condition is permanent. It cannot change. I am barren. The prophet said, by next year. The prophet says, by next year, a day like this one, you shall hold a baby. The woman said, don't lie to me. You heard the scripture? She even said what? Don't lie to me. If I can tell you now, to say in the next 20 days from now, a miracle will happen, you'll be like, Papa. You'll be like, Papa, but do you know my condition? Don't lie to me, Major One. I have no job. I have no... So are this man. Don't lie to me. The prophet said, by next year, you shall hold a child. When he said that statement,
yes,
what happened? That word began to move like how Hara moved from here to there. That word began to move around. The word began to move around. Am I speaking to somebody?
Yes.
If there was a problem with the mass reproduction system, it was fixed immediately. If there was a problem in the womb was fixed immediately because the word was spoken. Somebody said, Daba.
Daba.
So when I say, this will be done. That's why people hate prophets. Because the weapons we use are words. All what Moses had to speak, he must not even employ people to start pouring blood in waters. No, just a word. Say, the whole water in Egypt will become blood. Just a word like that. That word had to start moving around, causing every water become what? Blood. Why? Because Daba, it is when there's a word of God and you speak it. So there was a moment when Ezekiel was standing in a valley of dry bones. Are you hearing me? God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? He said, only you know. So God said, now, begin to be speaking what I'll be telling you. That is the exact meaning of Daba. That's why prophecy is born from the word. People who read the Bible a lot, people who pray a lot, people who understand the Bible a lot are the people who can prophesy. Because prophecy is born from the word of God. Am I speaking to you? So you are able to speak it. So people confuse, because I don't see in the spirit, I cannot prophesy. That's where the problem comes in, because prophecy is not seeing. Prophecy, it is to bubble up. It's prophecy to spring out. There is so much word in you that you can't keep it. That when you feel that you are so sick in your body, the word is so strong that instead of saying, I'm sick, it's so strong that you speak, I am healed. You begin to declare, I am healed. What is making you to prophesy over your health? It is because the word is in you. And because it is in you, you speak it. It becomes a prophecy. Say, Daba. Are you? So a seer sees, which is Roeh, R-O-E-H, Roeh, which means to see. Prophecy Navi or Nava, which is to, when there's so much water that it starts overflowing. So there are people who say, I want to prophesy. Hey, you need more word. How do you prophesy if there is no scripture? How do you speak if there's no word? And how will you see if there's no spirit? So it's not like something that just get it. No. This is why Elisha didn't pray, I want to prophesy like you. He said, double portion of your spirit. Because there must be a spirit. Am I talking to somebody? There must be what? There must be the spirit. He didn't say, I want to make miracles like you. He said, double portion of your spirit. Meaning, not that there's a spirit of Elijah. No, what the spirit of God upon Elijah. How the spirit was working on him. He wants the same measure, but double. So the same way the anointing is working upon the Major One. You need it. But not double, because I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I'm not going to heaven like Elijah. Are you understanding? So some people be like, I want to prophesy. I want this. No. You need the spirit. What was the spirit on Elijah? It was the spirit of fasting. What was the spirit upon Elijah? It was the spirit of prayer. Am I speaking to somebody here? When the spirit enters you, the spirit will make you prophesy. In Ezekiel 2 verse 1, can you just read it? My God, somebody say, I'm here prophet.
And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet and I'll speak to you.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Then the spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me.
So what made him speak? The spirit that entered him. Hey, my friend, I said, when I heard the word, there was a word he heard. And that's Dabba. And then when the word, and then the spirit, it made him stood up. He was sitting on his chair. Yes, but when the spirit entered, and the Dabba was downloaded in his heart, he stood up, kaya baya, and he began to prophesy for his life. Yeah, somebody's wondering, I'm still like this. I don't know why. My life is not changing. No. Life is not a style. Life isn't a style that it's today is like this, tomorrow is like, no. You are a custodian of your future. You make a choice how your life must be. Whether people are fighting you or not. Whether things are right or wrong. You decide the end of your life. I may face problems today, but I decide how my life will end. Am I talking to somebody right here? I may face situations, I may face resistance, I may face opposition, but trust you me, you may control my today, but I control my tomorrow.
Powerful.
If you have a neighbor, say, I control my tomorrow. They may laugh at us. They may say this. They may say that. They may do this. Trust you me, they are wasting their time. They don't know who we are. We are men and women who speak words of Dabba. And when we speak the word starts moving in the realms. The word starts going in offices, in boardrooms. The word goes in hospitals. The word goes in bodies. And the word accomplishes that which we have spoken. Somebody shout Dabba. They may control my today.
Yes.
Say that. They may control my today.
They may control my
Control my tomorrow.
Control my tomorrow.
Some of what you are facing needs prophetic intervention. This woman, are you still here? This woman was in a crisis. She accepted, I will never have a child. But she didn't understand. She was meeting a man of Dabba. The man said, hey, woman, next day you hold a child. By a time like this, you will hold millions. My God, am I talking to somebody? In Jeremiah 6 verse 16, just read it.
Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old path where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it.
Very important statement. It says, that says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, when the good ways, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. I just want you to underline that word, finding rest for your souls. There are people right now who they are facing situations, and all they need is, can I rest? I have been suffering for a long time. The Bible says there is There is a provision in scripture
for rest.
Your soul can rest. When I saw the scripture, I said, God, we need to have rest. Somebody say rest. In 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4, the Bible says,
but now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrences.
That's what we want to do now. I want us to read that scripture together. 1, 2, 3, go.
But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence.
Let's check NIV. Can you read together?
But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, and there is no adversary or disaster.
Are you here? Every disaster today, God will cause rest upon you. Oh, I don't know what you're facing, but today the anointing will be anointing ourselves with. Will be anointing for the victory to give you rest. Good News Translation, read it. Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read it.
But now, the Lord my God has given me peace on all my borders, and I have no enemies, and there is no danger of attack.
Who says major one? I also want to reach this level. I don't want these battles anymore. I want the rest. I want in every direction. The Bible says he has given me rest on every. And there are no attacks or danger or disaster. Your children delivered. Your finances okay. Your family fine. Even you see, so where are the enemies now? Like me. I'm having rest. Talking about rest. You know what I'm going to do it? Now let me show you. Because most people, they only know prophets. Like people who, no, hear this. Most people think of Elijah, of what he did when he called rain to fall. Have you noticed that most people, they don't talk about that it is actually him who stopped the rain? You didn't hear me. Have you heard this? People who were fighting him, they didn't understand that the man they were fighting, he was able to stop the supply chain. You didn't hear me. The man was holding the logistical chain. What brings them rain? The man could stop it. Not God telling him, him himself on his, just because he's a prophet, he would stop it. I'm about to stop sending rains right now. He stopped it himself, and they didn't know it was him who stopped it. Then he came to them and said, let's do competition. You didn't hear me. The man what? Stopped the rain, and then he came back and said, let's see who can call it. But who stopped it? It was him. He said, let's do fire. Let's see who can call fire. And they didn't know the man behind the rain. It was himself. And then he says, run, I will pray. And he prays for the first time. His own prayer that he stopped the rain himself. His first prayer, couldn't call it. And most people think, oh, Elijah prayed for the rain. There was no rain. He prayed again for another rain. No, it was the rain he stopped himself. He stopped it. That in fact, it was so difficult for it to come back even after he prayed himself. Tell them, don't play with me. I can stop your supply chain. But even if I pray again, it won't happen. Do you know how powerful you are? Prophets are very dangerous because they operate from Daba. Let me give you a scripture. In 1 Kings 17, verse 1, the Bible says what?
And Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to King Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, except at my word."
Except at my Daba. There are things I want to tell you that you need prophetic interventions. This is a prophet speaking. When a prophet said that word, he said, it will not happen only when I, the prophet, has spoken it. And I want to say the very same things to some of you. Anybody who's planning evil to happen to you, it will not happen. And every demonic plan, it will not happen in the name of Jesus. Now, check this. Isaiah 44 verse 26, New Living Translation.
But I carry out the predictions of my prophets. By them I say to Jerusalem, people who live here again, and to the towns of Judah, you will be rebuilt, and I'll restore all your ruins.
I don't know if you're hearing this scripture. God is saying, by the predictions of my prophets, you shall build, you shall be rest. By the predictions of my prophets. Can I predict something? Can I prophesy? The Bible says now, but I carry out the predictions of my prophets. By them, I will say to Jerusalem, people will live here again. And to the towns of Judah, you will be rebuilt. I will restore all your ruins. So who do you think you are? If Israel was completely finished, captured by the Roman Empire, destroyed by the Persians, and today is another city, rebelled. And God said, oh, what you are seeing there, it has happened because of what prophecy said. We're talking about a city. And it was just a house, 2-bedroom house. And you think it's a big deal? I prophesy in the name of Jesus. And by my prophecy, money is coming. And by my prophecy, healing is coming. And by my prophecy, that promotion is coming. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. I speak a prophetic intervention.